Hi, I'm Julie Nathanson, and when I am not voicing Princess Belle or platypus racing, I am listening to the Disney Parks podcast.
Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Park Hopper John from WDWParkHoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast. And now, the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment segment.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment show. This is our extra show that we do every Friday, bringing you our opinions, some infotainment, some ideas, some thoughts about Disney Parks. And it's totally different, and I'm so excited because we have some special guests this week. Joining me, as always, is my co-hostess with the Moses, Tony Castelnova from Disney by the Numbers. How are you doing tonight, pal?
I am doing an excellent day.
And Tony is going to introduce our lovely co-hosts for the evening.
Joining us, we have two, not one, but two special guests. Both of them do multiple, many podcasts. But they're famously known from the WDW Tiki Room, Aljon and Kristen. And Aljon, I don't even know the list of podcasts you do anymore.
I don't either, to be quite honest.
Just somebody tells you, sit down and talk into a microphone.
Yeah, you know, it's whatever. Yeah, sometimes I just sit and talk into a microphone. Sometimes I just talk to myself. So, you know, it's quite okay. It really is.
And his lovely sidekick, Kristen, who is just recently down here.
Correction, I'm her sidekick, Tony.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't gonna jump into the middle of that one, but yeah.
I had to bite it off right there.
And single make, guy. Yeah. That's what happens.
You know. Right, John, you know what I'm talking about.
Single guy. That's what I'm saying. He's Tony,
a single you guy. What I'm talking about.
Hey, I'm a single guy. No, it don't matter to me. You be a sidekick.
And now I know why.
That's right. But Kristen was recently down here. She does a great website, Dining at Disney. Has some great books and great stuff about food at Disney and other places. So thanks both of you for joining.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So the infotainment we've kind of thrown together this week is I went through and tried to find cool attractions that we don't have here at Walt Disney World in Florida and things that we'd like to see maybe come here to Walt Disney World. So Imagineering, if you're listening, here's our list of things that we'd like to see, you know, possibly made or even make a better version of what these current things are, make a better version here in Florida. We have lots and lots of room. We probably have more room than all the other parks on this list combined,
right?
You know? So who wants to start it off? Anybody? Aljon, Kristen, you guys are the guests.
I can go ahead and start.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with probably the most fun ride I've seen come out of Walt Disney World Imagineer or Walt Disney Imagineering in a number of years. And I'm going to say Tron over there at Disney Shanghai, because that ride is exhilarating. Looks so cool. The ride vehicles are cool. The entire track looks awesome. And you're probably going to hear me say cool and awesome as well as the rest of the panelists for at least the next 40 minutes. Yeah. So I've seen it and I like it. I like what I see and I want to have one. If not, I want to experience it there in Shanghai myself. So just great technology and it looks exhilarating. The closest I can say that maybe comes to riding a ride like this would be the inversion dueling dragons over at Universal maybe comes close, because you have, you know, kind of that start out point where you're very close together and then you kind of, you know, but even though the conveyance is for Tron is different and very unique. Okay. I love that rush of that 0 to 60 and however many seconds it is, much like Rock and Roller Coaster or California Screamin', which, Kristen and I love. So we like the the need for speed.
I love Chrome. And if you haven't seen anything about this, I don't think Disney has anything on their site yet except a picture, which is silly. But go to YouTube and like Google Tron POV or Tron Shanghai, and you'll see lots of videos. And if you could get a good one, I saw one that was kind of a POV from the front, and that was fantastic. That was a really cool experience. And it visually looks cool inside and outside the building. I think it's part of the allure of this attraction. It's not even the ride itself. It's just it looks cool from the outside. Yeah, you know, totally. So
I agree
that Tron should definitely be something that we can add to the Walt Disney World. Now, where would you put that, Al John? Where would you think?
Oh, I'd put it in Epcot. I would put it right there where the Wonders of Life Pavilion is. And that's going to be our whole. We're basically going to have like a whole technology section there, and we're going to have Tron, and we're going to put you into the grid, and we're going to derez everybody in a group in the pre-show. You see, I got it all worked out. It's, you know, absolutely nothing like the actual Shanghai attraction, folks. So,
see, now I would have thought it would have been a great anchor for the, a new Tomorrowland at the Magic Kingdom.
You know, that would work as well. In fact, I do like that even better. And you could get rid and bulldoze the Speedway in order to make that. Right, Tony?
Yep. Holy cats. Could you imagine the outcry
of
the Disney community? You can't get rid of that ride. Yes, we can.
It is so not tomorrow-like.
Exactly.
You are ruining my childhood.
Bob, it's more like Yesterland. It's more like Yesterland rather than Tomorrowland.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
I like the idea of putting it in Epcot for a number of different reasons. But you know, mainly because there really is nothing in that whole corner quadrant. You know, we've all heard the story of what Ellen's Energy Adventure may or may not become. But if they were to get rid of that Wonders of Life Pavilion, which is really honestly wasted space anyway, that would be a great place to put an attraction like that. I think Epcot needs more thrill rides anyway. So yeah. I've got some plans there too, my friend.
Mm-hmm. I bet you do.
All right, Kristen, what are you thinking?
I am going to go with the attraction from Disneyland of Paris, Ratatouille, A Recipe for Adventure. As we know, that is my favorite Pixar movie. I love it. It's just so cute. And this one, it's a 4D experience. So, I mean, you go on an adventure with Remy and his friends, and you're in these little cars, and you go through like a kitchen. It makes you appear like you're his size, and Chef Skinner's supposed to be chasing you. One of the interesting things it says is sight, sounds, and smells. So I'm thinking we're going to smell food cooking. So it's going to be kind of like a Soarin' experience where they like pump out the little smellinators or whatever you want to call them.
Smell-o-vision.
But I think that's cool that you go through Gusteau's restaurant. So. And that's a fairly new attraction for them. That opened in 2015.
Yeah. Right. But that's a good choice. Now, where would you put that in Walt Disney World?
It's going to go at Pixar Place.
Ooh, that is good.
You wouldn't put that in the France Pavilion?
No.
Oh.
There's too much good food going on in the France Pavilion. We would have to get rid of the wine. They'd have to get rid of the little show, which I don't think anybody'd really have a problem with.
No, I think they could probably build it right next door. They've got the little grassy area that they could probably build it. Yes. Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
Well, I'll tell you a secret. They can't really put anything behind that pavilion because they built a huge wine cellar behind that pavilion. That have you guys ever been back there?
No.
Gosh, you gotta I'll see if I have his name. The guy who runs that pavilion, he took us like on a backstage tour and took us, you know, showed us how they made the ice cream, took us back in the bakery upstairs. It's a two-story bakery.
Yeah.
Took us back in the bakery. And then he couldn't show us the wine cellar, but he showed us where it is. And then he showed us on his app. There's all the cameras that are in the wine cellars, so we can watch it all day.
Wow.
To make sure the comings and goings. He gets alerted every time the door is opened. And then it shows him the camera feed on his phone, which I thought was fun. But they couldn't put it back there. They'd have to put it somewhere else and on the side or, I don't know, somewhere else.
I never would have thought there was that never would have crossed my mind that there'd be
wine for the two restaurants.
Yeah,
that's where they store all their wines and this huge wine cellar. All right, hey John, what are your what's your first choice?
I think my first choice would be to take a classic attraction that I love, give it a little bit of a refurbishment, and give it a new theme. And I would put it in the Japan Pavilion. I would take the Matterhorn bobsleds and figure out a way to make it work with the Mount Fuji theme and drop it in Japan, because I think that Epcot needs some more rides. And that would be really cool to have a roller coaster ride in Japan. And because, you know, it's a small space anyway, why not? I don't know what they would call it. I don't know what kind of ride vehicles they would use. But that's not my concern. My concern is just dreaming it up. So I would take the Matterhorn, put it over there and call it, you know, obviously shape it correctly, but, you know, make it a Mount Fuji ride.
What about Journey to Mount Fuji?
Journey to Mount Fuji.
The mysterious.
See, I thought you would have gone Stitch right off the bat. One of the Stitch attractions.
Yeah, no. No, thrill rides. I'm just going thrill rides today.
All right.
Well, that's interesting you say that, though, because I like that idea, but if they were to do it, they must put in a smoother track.
Oh, yeah. That I won't ride it anymore.
That track will – oh.
So jostle a good kidney.
No, I was going to say something so politically incorrect, but yes, that that track will totally – That track will beat you up. Yeah.
Sure. I've got a couple of scars on my knuckles where the first time I ever rode it, I was like, yeah, put your hands up. And that ride was not built for people who would put their hands up on a roller coaster. So I scraped the wall in a couple spots and I get off the ride and my knuckles are bleeding and the cast member's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just stupid.
Apparently, you didn't take part in the safety speech of keep your hands inside the car.
There's a safety
hands,
speech?
Arms, yeah. Feet and legs. And, like,
inside the vehicle.
Cuidados los niños.
Exactly. Please stand clear of the doors.
All right. I am torn between two different things. Some old school stuff from when I was a kid and some new school stuff. And I'm going to start with the new school thing, I think. I'm going to say just box up Cars Land, the entire thing. Put it in some crates, Disneyland, and just send it to us. We'll give you something better. We'll give you something different. something we have maybe that you want. I don't know. Maybe we'll send you the Main Street Electrical Parade again.
Yeah, that seems fair.
But just send us Cars Land, and I'd probably put it in the studio in Pixar Place.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not taking away Toy Story Land. I still want that, but I'm also adding a Cars Land. So I think we got some room back there. If they level that stupid cast member parking garage, I think we have some space back there.
Yeah, you could
they can absolutely do that.
They could dig out holes for Catastrophe Canyon so you could drive through it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I want the whole thing because it's the whole experience. I mean, it's great during the day and it's even better at night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of neon that they've used in there and the street signs, you just feel like you're immersed in the movie. And that's what Disney does best. When you feel like you're in the movie, then they've accomplished their goal.
And that's one of my favorite things about the wine country across from it. It's got the alfresco wine cellar, whatever it's called, upstairs. I'm drawing a blank on the name. But at night, the view that you have of Cars Land, I mean, you can just sit there and watch the people in Cars Land all night and not realize it because it's just such a fantastic view.
Yeah. Yeah. When that first opened, there was a little video of John Lasseter up on top of one of the buildings, just watching the people first go into Cars Land. And he was just giddy. He was giddy because everybody that was coming in was so excited. Like, you know, kids were going, like, is this the movie? They felt like they were, you know, actually going into the movie. And watching him, watching them, I thought was a great little video. I have to find that and post that again because it was a good video to watch. All right, Al John, what's next on your list? What's your pickings?
So the other one that I am wanting to bring over is actually also from the Far East. We're going to go to Tokyo Disneyland, and we're going to go with a Disney Sea, and we're going to go with Journey Through the Center of the Earth.
Ooh.
And that attraction is great. Big fan of Jules Verne. Love that whole thing that they're doing. I've always wanted – I've thought that if Tomorrowland here at stateside in both parks, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, were to adopt a new fantastical version of the future, that Jules Verne would be that perfect thing. And, of course, they did integrate that in several of the Disney parks. And the Journey just is great. It is a huge disappointment for me that when I was in Tokyo, I didn't get a chance to ride it. But I know, I mean, I've seen videos and things of that nature, and it just looks like a hell of a lot of fun. So,
and it's a coaster experience, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that once again, and there's probably going to be a big theme with coasters through this. I know that there are probably going to be some dark rides involved at some point, but for now, I will list that as my number. If we're going to number it, this is my number four. So.
Okay. And where you're putting that in where?
Now, that's a good question. That could go in Tomorrowland. Could go into maybe Future World, but definitely would go into Tomorrowland. Theming wise, you may have to tweak it to put it in Future World, but as we know, sometimes it doesn't really matter. So just put it anywhere.
Yeah, because they put it in Disney Seas. They didn't put it in their Tomorrowland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, nobody did. But yeah, Tomorrowland. If once again, the biggest waste of space, and yes, the Disney fans can write and email me a bunch of hate mail, but yes, anything but the Speedway. So can we put it there? Can we just put it there?
Yeah. Well, we can't put two things where the Speedway is, but
okay. Well, we'll just.
Well, maybe we'll just move Carousel Progress off to the side a little bit.
Yeah. Why not? Why not? You know.
There's some room on the side
there. Put it on top of Cosmic Rays. How about that? Right on top. You know, we'll just start building on top.
Get rid of the Astral Orbiter and just put it on top of that.
Yeah, put it on the Astral Orbiter. We'll put the.
It only weighs like 370 tons or something like that.
Yeah, it ain't nothing. Ain't nothing.
All right, Kristen, what do you got?
I think I'm going to go with an attraction from the West Coast, and I have to say, California Screamin'. I love that attraction. I grew up going to amusement parks and not theme parks. So this is that classic coaster that I grew up with. So it's a little bit of that nostalgia of the, you know, simple roller coasters without all that extra theming stuff that Disney does. Not that I don't love all that stuff, but I'd like to take that. And since I really am just not a big fan of Dino Land and, you know, the little... You know, you've got
Primeval World.
Primeval Hurl, as we should probably call it. And and the Triceratops Spin. And you got all the little games there. And then you have the Dino Dig site. I'm going to take all that out. And that's where that attraction is going to go. And it's going to be themed with dinosaurs.
Wow.
And they're going to play that... Walk the Dinosaur song. That's what it's going to be.
Boom, boom. Like a boom.
Yes.
That's
boom,
it.
Like a boom, boom.
That's going to be the tune that plays when you ride it.
All right.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. It wouldn't be, you know, I know that there's limitations and stuff, but it'd be cool to put in the, again, we wanted to put it like at Epcot, put it behind the American Adventure, you know. Have the big Mickey wheel and it drops a big American flag. It's, you know, it would be a roller coaster for all the countries of the world.
That wouldn't be bad because that, John, that would give them a good backdrop for a new illuminations type of show that they can project things on.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Or they could put it in the center.
Yes. Right in the middle of the lagoon.
Yep. That would be fun.
Or right where the fountain is, maybe.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. I'm going to dovetail a little bit off of Al John's because I really do love the idea of the Jules Verne. If Tomorrowland's going to be Tomorrowland, you know, what we have right now, there's really no saving it. But if we were to do like what they do at like Disneyland Paris, where they have like the Jules Verne spin on it, then I could actually get behind it. And so that means that we'd have to bring one of my personal favorite, you know, longing rides is their version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see that version of that attraction in a Tomorrowland that does not have an Autopia area and could probably do away with Stitches, you know, whatever that is, and put it somewhere. But yeah, I would love to see a Jules Verne version of 20,000 Leagues and Journey to the Center of the Earth. So, you know, as a sidebar, you know what they're going to have to do with Space Mountain?
Oh, they're going to have to convert that over too. Have to
convert the snot out of that bad boy. So that would be my next choice is 20,000 Leagues.
See, now you stole mine. Good. Yeah.
Wow. That was my plan all along.
I have so many fond memories of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea as a kid over Disneyland. I did the Disneyland version. And I miss it so much. I miss it so much. And I love the thought of going under the water and checking all the coral and stuff, you know. But, you know, it's and there's no Finding Nemo in it either.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I do have a lot of memories of the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And I think one of many things I missed from Magic Kingdom, that and the Skyway, but. You know.
Hey, does the Skyway in Disneyland Paris still exist?
I do not believe so. I don't remember seeing a Sky Bucket ride.
That's gone away everywhere in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember it. But then again, I mean, I was so overwhelmed, but I'm fairly confident that it's not there.
Because I know that Tokyo got rid of their Skyway in 98. So,
yeah. See, I think it's still today. It's something that could still happen if they were to have used like enclosed gondolas rather than open air ones. And use like the bigger ones that they use at the ski resorts that hold like 6 or 8 people rather than just 4. They could add, you know, more throughput. And I think it would have been fun to have things like that, you know, to take you from one side to the other. I think they could have even used it as like a transportation almost, like from one park to another, you know. Mm-hmm. In New Jersey, there was a park, Vernal Valley ski area during the summer used to have the two mountains used to have summer activities. And to get from one to the other, you could take a gondola to go from one park to the other. And I thought that would be something that they could do at Disney World, you know. It would take a little less monorail. It may be cheaper than a monorail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're saying it, you know, it's $1 million a mile to build a monorail, maybe. Well, build gondolas. It's got to be cheaper. It's only a wire.
It's all fun and games until someone drops.
That's right. Or is thrown.
Or gets struck by lightning.
Or gets struck by lightning. Yeah, that's true.
Or it gets stuck in a weather storm. Okay. Sorry about that.
Right.
I digress.
All right. I think next right, it's my turn, right? I think I'm going to say the red car trolley. at California Venture.
I like it.
You know, when you walk down Hollywood Boulevard now to Hollywood Studios, just past the Starbucks and the little area where you can get or used to get fast passes, there's a mural of the red car trolley. And when I first saw that they put that up, I was like, oh my God, we're going to get the red car trolley here at the studios. No. What they did was they tricked us. And that was a forecast kind of image of what they called the Starbucks, which was the red car, trolley car stop. I was like, oh, now it makes sense why they put that. But I still think we can use a red car trolley. When the whole expansion of the studios is built, I think this would be great. You know, you got like three stops, you know, Toy Story Land, Star Wars Land, and, you know, Hollywood Boulevard and maybe even Sunset. You know, I think they should do it. And that would give like almost another, you know, like the train goes around the Magic Kingdom, have a train that goes around the Hollywood Studios now. Mm. And you can go off into different lands. Be perfect.
I like it.
Right? All right. Al John.
Yes. So here we are again. And I'm going to kind of get the little floating claw from Toy Story, and I'm going to bring it over to Disneyland. I'm going to pluck out Indiana Jones.
Ooh.
And I like the Forbidden Eye. What a great attraction. Even though it's dinosaur with a completely new coat of paint, so to speak, the way they did it is so much better than dinosaur. You know, yeah. The fact that you can see multi-tiered levels and it feels like you're roasting in a pit of lava, and then all of a sudden you're in a pit of snakes, and then you're, you know,
being run over by a boulder.
Yeah, I'm down with all that. It's just done so much better, you know, and it just feels like a much more well thought out attraction than dinosaur or extinction, whatever you want to call it these days. It just is better. And I like the theming, like the queue, believe it or not, even though it's like a mile and a half to get to the ride when you go to Disneyland. So you have to trudge through a mile and a half of queue, then you go into the ride, you know, but the ride is well worth it. And if I were to put it in there, I'd replace the stunt show, put it in Ooh. To studios and have it right there. So you'd have another kind of e-ticket style attraction. In my opinion, it's an e-ticket attraction. Some people may not think that. That's mm-hmm. open for discussion, but I think it would be much better there at the now that Studios is not really going to be what it used to be in terms of presenting stage shows and things like that behind the curtain. Let's put that attraction in there.
Yeah. So. Now, do you think that is a little bit smoother than Dinosaur, as in the herky-jerky action of the vehicle?
I think they're about the same. I don't see any difference. I think that if you're sitting in the back, you're liable to fall out and you know, hit and elbow other people, you know, more so than an NHL game, you know? Mm. So that's definitely something that I think it's just as equally as bumpy ride in both.
Yeah. If you don't want a bumpy ride, the best place to sit is obviously the middle.
Yeah.
less likely less to be jostling. Tossed around. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I thought that was always just a little bit smoother than Dinosaur.
It's possible. It could just be the ride vehicle that you're in. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, I don't know the time in, I don't have it in front of me when Dinosaur opened versus when Indiana Jones opened. You'd be the master at that, Tony. You probably remember when they opened.
I think it was Indiana Jones was first, and then we got Dinosaur.
Was it Indiana Jones first?
Wow. I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I have to go look.
Okay. Yeah. That's
I have a book about funny. That.
Yeah. You know, you sell books and stuff. You know, that's what you do. But yeah. But regardless, you know, they're.
Okay. So it opened 16 years ago, right?
Which one? Dinosaur? Indiana? Hold on.
Indiana opened. I'm looking for the exact date. I just saw it and I lost it. Oh, it opened. In 95, so 21 years ago.
Wow.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. Well, there you go. There you go. Still,
where would you put it? Did you say where you put it?
Yeah, I'd put Indiana where Hollywood Studios, where Indiana Stunt Show.
Okay. I, because in my head I was thinking I just replaced dinosaur. And you go too, Mrs. Cosby, Huxtable, whatever your name is.
Yeah, but we can keep Seeker.
Yeah. Kind of like they do in Winnie the Pooh, have a little Seeker there and, you know, just try to find the hidden dinosaur.
Sometimes I really do wish they would get new people to redo these intros.
They can get the same people. Because they just have to shoot them in HD.
As much as I like Gary Sinise, I really get tired of the British girl or whatever she is and her little spiel. I'm just like, oh my gosh, can I just like bypass this part of Mission Space? I really don't need to see it for the 57th time.
Well, she wishes everybody that would bypass this, go ahead and bypass this experience.
That would be a good podcast for another day. If we were to redo the spiels, who would we put in that place?
Oh, I like that idea. That's what you should do next time.
As long as what's his face stays on Soarin', I'm good.
You know, we could get Mark Silverman and Stanton to come on and do the voices as we say, well, we think it should be, and then just say, all right, one of you two, any of you, one of you, and then they could do
that. That's one that you could never, you cannot get rid of Silverman. That's another attraction. You can't get rid of the person.
It just wouldn't be the same.
I always thought that was really Rod Sterling.
Yeah. No.
Not that I thought he was alive to do it. I mean, as I said to you before, Tony, I thought they took the audio, like his different audio, cut it up, put it in a mixer, and made it sound like he was actually saying all those things.
Imagine, if you will, my disembodied voice.
It dug me up from the grave.
I
was sitting next to Walt's head.
We're in a cryogenically frozen tank. Smithers.
Smithers. Yeah.
And even Kat Cressida, she can do a bunch of women's voices. So.
Oh, Kat would be great. Kat is great.
Okay. I was talking about her earlier tonight because I was trying to remember the name of the Black Widow bride. And it couldn't cross my mind. The only thing I could think of was Kat's name. I was like, I can think of who does her voice, but I cannot think of the name of the character.
Wait a minute. I can't think of it either now. Well, I can think of her name.
Look at it.
Constance.
Thank you. Because I was like, I know it's not Candace, but for some reason that name is popping in my head.
That's a hooker's name.
Ouch.
Sorry, all the Candaces out there.
Ouch. Send all your cards and letters to Tony Castelnova at Disney by the Numbers.
Oh, gosh. Wow. I think, Kristen, you're next. You better go before you get in trouble.
Well, speaking of Kat Cressida, I'm going to go with Phantom Manor.
Oh, that was...
Even though we have the Haunted Mansion, I really would like to see them bring Norman Bates' house to Hollywood Studios. I think that would be cool, but they could change it up inside. Anything that's the same or very similar to what we have in Haunted Mansion, switch it out for something else.
I have news for you, Kristen.
What?
You know that they have the Bates Motel over at Universal Studios Hollywood, right?
So?
Hey, I'm a fan of Universal. Go, girl.
I am too. I like Universal too. So.
Yeah, all you can do is go past it and go, ooh, look, house.
Oh, look, a facade.
This is when you're going inside.
Yes, yes.
But I think their Phantom Mansion is a little bit different than ours, if I'm not mistaken. John, you were
there. Yeah, it's a lot different.
Yeah, from what I could tell from the images, there's a lot of different things in it.
It's tied in much like that whole area there, Phantom Manor, that whole area of like their Adventureland thing, and then like their Big Thunder Mountain are all connected. through a story, and it's great. And the Phantom Manor attraction is much darker. Like, there's like, you know, simulated hanging of a skeleton, and there's, you know, not blood, but there's, it's way darker. It's definitely got that European, you know, sensibilities when it comes to death and that kind of thing. So it's a lot more fun attraction, a little bit more adult attraction. I think that a Phantom Manor-esque attraction at Hollywood Studios would make perfect sense. What would be really cool is if there's some way that they could bring in like non-universal classic monsters, even if they did like a 50s horror movie mansion and did the
like
same
the old
concept.
Mummy.
Yeah, yeah, non-universal. So you can't do Dracula, you can't do the Mummy, you can't do
Wolfman,
Frankenstein, you can't do the Wolfman, but you can do, or the Creature from the Black Lagoon, but you can do those old 50s style sci-fi horror monsters, and you can always do a vampire, but that would be cool. I would really get into that. I think that would be something that would be very helpful. You know, but they've got the Tower of Terror, but another scary attraction would still be pretty cool over Hollywood Studios. Yeah.
Well, Raleigh Crumpet said that the Haunted Mansion was supposed to be a lot scarier originally. It was supposed to have
House of the Weird.
Yeah, the House of the Weird and all that kind of stuff. And then Mystic Manor in Hong Kong is, I think, even a better version than our friends. Steve Stanton does the voice over there. So,
mm-hmm. Lord Mystic.
Yeah, Lord Mystic.
You know, every time I'm at Disneyland and I'm walk near the Mark Twain and you hear the voice go off, every time I hear it, I'm like, it's Steven.
Take a ride on the riverboat. Yeah. I think it's time to have him back on. We haven't had him on in a while.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of my favorite guests that we've ever had on Tiki. I love Steven Stanton.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy, so genuine and so talented.
Yeah, I agree.
You should do a voice about, you should do one with the top voices of the parks.
Yeah. I want to do like a cruise and invite all of them, you know, Stan.
Can we go?
Yeah, Stan and Silverman and Kat and do a whole cruise and get them all to come.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine how much fun that would be?
Yeah, Phil Farmer. And,
we could get the husband and wife team out there too. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah, the Voices of the Parks.
Voices of the Parks cruise.
Yeah.
That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah. All right, John.
The voice talent cost would be through the roof, but it'd be great.
Well, you just added on to the cost of the cruise.
Oh, yeah. It's just that easy. Everybody's kind of picking ones that I've already picked. So I'm going to go with, and I know that this is going to come up later, another version of this attraction. My favorite version that I have seen, and I've seen three versions of Pirates of the Caribbean, my favorite version is over at Disneyland Paris. It's better than both Pirates here stateside combined. It's a much larger complex. It's a much better themed area. It has a restaurant as well. It's much better. It's bigger. You're walking into a castle like you're going into, you know, the castle scene, you know, in the first Pirates. You're actually walking into that. It's just all around a better themed. Now, I know we're going to talk about the other newer version, but for me, you know, for my list, since, you know, some of my other ones have been chosen, I'm going to go with the Pirates of the Caribbean from Disneyland Paris. And I would probably change it up a bit, and I would probably put it over in Animal Kingdom. I'm not sure how I would theme it necessarily, because I don't want to trash the Pirates of the Caribbean that we have here.
They could just be poachers. You're going up to poachers again.
Yeah, poachers of the Serengeti. Yeah.
Yes. The poachers of the Caribbean.
I have to say, John, I've never really closely looked at the photos for the Paris version of that attraction, but wow, you're right. It is bigger.
That's what she said.
Yeah. And
now, would you say it's even better than Disneyland?
Nothing. Oh my God. Hello. First of all, that's what she said. I should get a Thank you. yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's better than Disneyland. Very much better than Disneyland.
Wow.
Never been there, but I take your word for it.
You have to trust me on that one. It's just it's better than Disneyland.
Wow. All right. All right. I think this should probably be the last round, but on my next choice is now people say, well, it's not an attraction. And it is an attraction where it currently is. And I'm going to say the Disneyland monorails. I would love if our monorails got a Disneyland facelift. Mm-hmm. There's been rumors going around for years that we were going to get the Mark 8, I think it is now. And there's nothing. We're still riding around in 1971 technology on these monorails. But, you know, they've done upgrades over the years. They're, you know, now all self-driven and GPS located and all that fancy stuff. But I think they don't look modern anymore. They look old and dated. And then ones at Disneyland are fantastic. They're great looking. They're modern. They're sleek. Yeah. Gosh, I would love to ride in the front of one again. You know,
Disneyland will let you ride in the front.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Because there it's an attraction. It's not their transportation. And that's the reason Disney says, I'm sure that and the NTSB says no. But I'd love to get their monorails. I'd love to get the monorail expanded. I'd love to have it go to every resort and every park and all those things. But I'm going to say monorails.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I guess it's me.
Yep.
And there are so many different overlays and different attractions from different parks and whatnot. I don't know why my... Okay, there we go. So I don't know why. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. For some reason, the camera's not moving. So I don't know why. I don't know. I don't know how this would be able to work. I don't know what type of miracle needs to happen, but I would love for Hyperspace Mountain to be at Disney World. I would love that. I could have said Nightmare Before Christmas overlay because I love that. I think that's brilliant. I think it's awesome. There's so many different attractions, but my God, do I want Star Wars and that Hyperspace Mountain overlay so bad. It looks awesome. The soundtrack is amazing. The projections are great. The where the TIE fighters come in and start attacking you while you're going through the little, you know, your little vortex and stuff. I mean, just is so neat. And I've always liked the way the Disneyland Space Mountain looks and feels, you know, because it got the update versus ours. So
very smooth.
It's very smooth. It's much like Tokyo. The Tokyo is awesome too.
And it has music in
a better way. Yeah, and I do like the Tokyo one actually better. It's my favorite Space Mountain that I've ridden out of all the three, but. I do like the fact that Disneyland has the Hyperspace Mountain overlay. I think it's brilliant. I think it's a great, you know, update to that ride that brings Star Wars into Tomorrowland. So that would be mine.
Yeah. And it's really a shame, you know, and the excuse of, you know, that's a park and this is a destination in Florida. But it's really a shame that they don't do some of those overlays here because I think it would be part of the allure of, hey, if you come during, you know, the Christmas season or the Halloween season or whatever, we have these special overlays. I think it would draw more people even to the park. Rather than, you know, saying, oh, well, we can't do it because, you know, we got to shut it down and you got to do it and then you got to take it down. Come on. We're used to refurbishments. I mean, things go down all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the big deal? Just take it down for a week and, you know, is it that much screaming and yelling that people would be doing? Oh, I can't go to Space Mountain. It's closed. Well, it's closed. Too bad. Should have planned your trip better.
Well, even though, even if they decided to you know, shut down for a day or just do it over time during off hours. They're installing projections and projection screens. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you can do that. And overall, it would enhance the overall attraction. At the end of the day, you know, they don't do the overlay. They just project other stuff on it, like asteroids and whatever. So it's cool.
Right. Come on. If my little Christmas wheel thing that you put in front of your house has 20 different things, I'm sure you can find something besides asteroids. Right?
I can go to Lowe's and get a 3D projector to do
something. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, Kristen, what's up? What's next?
Oh, I think what I'm going to go with is the overlay for the Haunted Mansion during the holidays, because I really like that movie, and that's something I want to see. And it's just, it's not convenient for me to take a trip out to California in November or December. And they don't keep it through January. If they kept it for a month longer, I could deal with that. I did get to see part of the one that they do for It's a Small World.
Right.
Because it was only the outside they had taken down when I went, not this past January, but the January before. But I really want to see. I've heard it's amazing. So that's what I want. I want them to, even if they don't do it every year, do it every third year or something. Shut the attraction down for long enough to do that. If that means you have people working in there 24 hours a day, so it's not, you know, taking as long to complete, then just do that. You have lighting.
Right.
So that's what I want. I really want to see Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm with you.
I've not seen it. Has anybody actually seen it? I've heard it's spectacular.
With the overlay for Nightmare Before Christmas? Yeah. I did in Tokyo.
Ooh.
And it was magnificent. Let me tell you, even in all Japanese, it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. I mean, I can't tell you, going to Tokyo Disneyland in during the Christmas season, especially when Final Fantasy came out, was amazing.
Wow.
Wow, yeah. It was cool, man. I want Kristen to go, but, you know, she gets a little claustrophobic, so.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm people claustrophobic.
Well, being on a plane for 24 hours will do that to you.
Man, be nice.
I need my personal space. I don't need everybody. I don't need to feel your breath on my neck. I start feeling people breathing on me, and that's not.
You need to fly like Air Emirates, where you get your own little room.
It's not the airplane part of it. It's the country. I need like a little bubble thing that goes around me.
Well, that ain't gonna happen.
So close.
That's not gonna happen.
No, ain't gonna happen.
Unless you have that. I saw that video of that person who put like an inner tube on in order to make sure they had space between them and other people.
That's hilarious.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah. All right, John.
My final pick is something that we've talked about a long time, and it needs it. We're due for a new nighttime spectacular. So I love you, Illuminations. You've been wonderful, but it's time that we get World of Color in World Showcase Lagoon. It's a wonderful world of color.
Yeah, we don't want the 60th anniversary version. We want the original.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. We want Walt back.
Yeah. I know that there would be, you know, there would be some issues with that. But you know what? Epcot needs to, you know, they can move a ball out and open up and shoot flames and all that great stuff. They can figure out a way to project on the water. They got the water stuff. I mean, it just, you know, we need something like that. It's time to update, you know, Illuminations. And, you know, at this rate, we might get that way before we get, you know, Rivers of Light. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, so disappointing.
I'm going to offer you an alternate location for your, World of Color, John.
The Castle Nova bathtub.
No. Although, right, that's a second location.
Studios?
No, the Disney Springs right there out on the water. Because you got people all along Saratoga and then all along the area of Disney Springs.
That's a great idea, but they're not going to do something to that degree that they can't charge money for.
Uh-huh.
Well, who says Disney Springs is going to be free forever?
Hey, hey, don't give them ideas.
Oh, like they don't have the idea already? As soon as they put up those security things, they're going to start charging for tickets, baby.
That would be unfortunate.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
That would be a mistake. We'll a lot see. Of money then not being spent in those shops and stuff.
Yeah. All right, my last pick, I'm going Tokyo Disney Sea because I love that park and I've never been there. But they have something called the Aquatopia, which is like bumper boats. And you drive these boats around out on this water.
You mean like the Autopia ride?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like Aquatopia?
Aquatopia, yeah.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, exactly. But this thing just looks like cool. You can go underneath this waterfall so you can get wet if you don't want to get wet. It just looks like a lot of fun from the video that I'm watching, and I think it would be cool. I could see this in the Seven Seas Lagoon. I can see this in Bay Lake. I can see it on any of the places that there's water.
If there's water in Florida, there are
ginger snaps,
gators. There will not be any people in a ride in water in Florida ever.
We have boats.
Oh, so you keep missing the video I keep talking about where the alligator climbs into the undercarriage of the Tom Sawyer Island.
Fine, rat. Whatever. Whatever.
It's a so, great right, idea.
So, I mean, great all idea. Right. So it looks like this attraction takes up a large piece of water. So maybe the Animal Kingdom, you could do it there. There's plenty of property over there. It even looks great at night. This thing. I don't. I'm just saying we need something like this. We don't have anything this cool. Another place to put this would probably be even in a water park. If you don't want to put it in a park, put it in a water park. We got two of those. You know.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. And then if you want to get wet, you can get wet. If you don't want to get wet, you don't have to get wet. You know, you pick. You pick your wetness level. Not so wet, very wet, medium
Tony,
wet.
That not so fresh feeling.
Moist, damp, slightly wet. Moist.
That's why I wear Depends for that not so wet feeling. I don't. That's what I'm saying. All right, the show's taking a wicked turn. All right. Any other last words, final comments, final thoughts, anybody?
I like the list. I can't wait to go on YouTube and watch these examples on YouTube. They're great.
Good stuff. We need these attractions. We need more attractions in Walt Disney World. We need more attractions at Epcot. So Disney, if you're listening, please.
Yeah. I do think that. I do think we've been slow to get newer attractions lately. I'm not going to talk about Avatar because it's not done yet. So taking them 400, yeah, or Star Wars Land or Toy Story Land, but there it seems like they're only putting like one or two new attractions in the new lands. From what we can see so far. So I don't know. It just seems like it's slow going. You know, but
we need some new attractions. Because there's been so many new restaurants that I'm having difficulty keeping up with all the places. You know, it's like I go home and a place opens and I'm like, no, why didn't it open like a week earlier?
When we're talking about Universal, for shame, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about Universal. I wanted to take my little claw and literally pick, you know, the Harry Potter worlds and put them into Disney because that was something I would just like, hey, can we go cross park? Because I just go ahead and take the claw and just lift everything Harry Potter out of, you know, out of there and put it in Disney.
Yeah. That may be another podcast. Things we'd like to steal from Universal.
That would be one of them.
If we were to do something like that, I would like to take all of Cedar Point and just drop it and be the fifth gate at Walt Disney World Resort.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, they just opened up.
No, that's what we need. We need to do sometime is a trip to Cedar Point.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
I haven't been in so long that I am in desperate need of some thrill rides like those.
So Cedar Point, if you happen to be listening, feel free to send press passes our way, courtesy of the Disney Parks podcast. We'll all go here and we'll broadcast live from that
place. Yeah, sure.
We will cover your park like the fine morning dew.
Yeah, I don't hear any Cedar Park podcast. Maybe we should start one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're there.
In Dollywood too. Oh, we're gonna start one on Six Flags. We'll just start.
Carowinds. We can do all the Six Flags parks. We can do Knott's Landing.
We'll do everything. We'll do Knott's Landing.
Then we have to go to Europe and do all those non-OSHA sanctioned rides that could kill us at any moment. Oh yeah.
All those crazy rides. Oh my gosh. We'd have to go to
Dubai and do that Marvel universe or whatever, right? Don't they have a Marvel universe in Dubai?
I thought they stopped that.
Oh, did they?
I thought they stopped building it.
What about the
Ferrari attraction in Dubai as well?
Oh, we can do the Ferrari attraction. Here's one thing for you. We can go to fake Chinese Disneyland over there where they have the characters dressed up, you know, basically like, you know, I don't know. They look so cheap. But basically go to Halloween Express and get all their costumes, basically.
Well, some of them are like the old paper mache bobblehead thing.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like the it's like, let's comment on the fact that cheap Disney, rip-off Disneyland China is doing like fake stormtroopers with foam costumes. Let's do that.
Yeah, New York City, I just read, is cracking down on some of the fake costume people. I think they can't now ask or beg for money, like if you want their autograph or take their picture, they cannot ask you for money now because that was considered now panhandling.
Yeah.
So.
Huh.
I'm sure they've implemented that at the Chinese theater too.
Yeah. Well,
there goes my career choice.
Yeah, I know. What were you going to dress up as, John?
I was going to dress up as the slave Princess Leia.
Nice.
For Jabba the Hutt, I can do both. Yeah, I can do both.
I'll go as George Jetson.
John's gonna start dancing to that
thong. No, brother. That's not gonna happen. No, Tony, you're gonna go as the guy from Toy Story 2, the toy collector.
Yes.
That's you. That's
Tony. Al's Toy Box.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Tommy, Cheetos and everything.
You're going to have Cheeto powder on you and everything. That's awesome. Or cheesy poofs. You're going to have cheesy poof powder all over you.
That's the cheesy poofs.
We were going to do that one Halloween at one of the Halloween parties, all dressed as Toy Story characters. Nobody ever wanted to do it. So, wow. All right, kids. Yeah, that's true. That is another good show. I think we've had a lot of fun. We want to thank our two awesome guests, Al, John, and Kristen. So, Al, John, you want to tell everybody the many, 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 many places they can find you?
Oh, no, they just need to check out WDW Tiki Room on Twitter and Facebook. You can follow me, too, at JediMouseketeer.com. All the social media is there. And listen to all of our great podcasts. We've got WDW Tiki Room, Kristen and myself. It's very much a kind of like Entertainment Tonight. We do a lot of celebrity interviews and red carpets and cool stuff regarding Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars. And our adult podcast for fans that like a little bit of that live edge to it, we've got WDW After Dark. And that is also available at WDWAfterDark.com, iTunes and YouTube, and where other fine podcasts can be found.
Yep. And Kristen?
You can find me at DiningAtDisney.com. The Dining at Disney podcast is available on iTunes, so you can download that. And on social media, everywhere except for YouTube, it's Dining at Disney.
Gotcha. What do you want on YouTube?
The Dining at Disney.
The Dining at Disney.
Nobody who had Dining at Disney, but it wouldn't let me take it because it said it was taken. So I think YouTube was a little confused that day. So
that's not uncommon. All right. Please go check them out. They both have great content on both their sites and podcasts and things like that. And that's it, kids. As we say around here, we will see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a bow out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.